Show.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the 580 Show, episode 158. It's actually a Christmas episode too, by the way. But we got Ross Remillard on this week. So Ross is my nutritionist, has helped me with the last probably 4 or 5 water cuts I've done. He's also a fellow 80 kg competitor. You were at the first ever Clash, I believe.
Yep.
OSG, how many times? 4 times,
I believe. 4 times, top 10 once.
Top 10 at OSG. Second at Nationals this year for Strongman Corporation. And, you know, just a nutrition coach as well. So we were talking just before we came on. I was at OSG for the first time this year. And even at the highest level, the amount of just tomfoolery, silliness you see with water cutting specifically is kind of crazy. So I wanted to talk about water cutting. I want to talk about just general nutrition. We do talk, when I say nutrition, I mean for strength training, obviously, for strongman specifically. But man, thank you for joining the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So I don't want to give out all your secrets for water cutting because you know, obviously you provide a service, but there's some topics I want to talk about. And I really do want to make the point, even if you do think you know what you're doing for water cutting, and if you do know what you're doing, I think one thing is having someone there for that loopiness of the actual water cut is super beneficial to lean on. I know we text every once in a while, Ross, but like the week I'm leading into a comp, we probably text like 150 times. And it's just like, it is just so nice to have someone, because I know you guys can both comment on it. Dante's here too. I didn't introduce him, but you get loopy and you start to doubt yourself and maybe just second guess things. So just a point I wanted to make, you know, is even if you do think you're super knowledgeable on it, having someone is super important.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Even when I do my water cuts, if there are anything big or major, I reach out to somebody else to take care of it. Just takes your thinking right out of the situation.
For sure. It's like programming too, you know, like, you know what you're doing with strength training. A lot of people do. They've been doing this for 10 plus years, but being able to go in the gym and take the second guessing out of it, like you just said, it's 100% right. So that's a great point.
Yeah.
So the first point, I guess, I don't even know if this is really a question, but Dante and I have been talking about it offline too, is I think there's a trend in strength training, specifically strongman, where people see other people at their gym post or do like water cuts and they just think, oh, they just drink a ton of water and lose 20 to 25 pounds and it's super easy. And now I'm seeing it with a lot of like first timers or people failing on these water cuts. You know, you're not going to die, but there is a lot of suffering involved in it, right? Like, I mean, mm-hmm. it's...
Well, I mean, you can seriously injure yourself if you're not doing this right, right? So
right.
For beginners, I usually tell people, you know, don't cut if you don't have to. It's just, it's not worth it, the stress that it puts on your body.
Right. No, I remember speaking with Rebecca Lorch in the past, and, you know, she always kind of put guidelines on it where, like, you know, if it's a serious comp, cut up to this. What are kind of like the percentage guidelines you put on, like, you know, maybe more of like a novice person that's right on the cusp of like, maybe they weigh 222, you know, and they just want to compete at 220, you know, they take a piss in the morning, they make it, versus like, as you get up, you know, to the higher levels, how do you kind of gauge that percentage?
So I gauge it by how many times a person has cut, how well their nutrition is to begin with, either leading like all year round or even leading into a comp. And usually I don't recommend anything more than 10%. 10% is tough. It's tough. 10% is going to suck. But that is where like I'll cut it off. Cause I've had a couple people reach out where they want to make these drastic cuts. And I'm like, well, if you want to do that by this timeline, I won't do it. Like, I don't think that's safe.
Right. No. And that's, you made a really, really good point, is having that baseline in nutrition. And I think like, even just, it sounds, I mean, I don't measure my water on a daily basis, but I know I'm probably around a gallon or so, just by drinking water. I've never had a problem drinking water and I'm active, but you see these people come in with a pretty poor baseline of water and nutrition and think it's just like that magic pill. And so, I mean, that's a really good point, is like, it is kind of a year long commitment to being like full year committing. It doesn't just fall off, you know?
Yeah. And usually when I'm intaking somebody, I will say, okay, what's your nutrition been like for the past 2 to 4 weeks? You know, hopefully they're reaching out well over a month before the actual weigh-in so we can dial things in if need be. You know, okay, well, let's clean up your nutrition for a few weeks here, see where we can drop you down to, and then be in the safest place for, you know, an easy, decent water cut.
Right. And I'm sure, I mean, you see this, you see all these different athletes come, but I'm sure every kind of, every athlete, I'm sure a lot of what we just talked about, food, water intake, everything has to do with it, but how they all kind of go about a water cut differently, how their body takes to maybe a sweat stick or a sauna or a bath or just, you know, a diuretic or something like that. You know, I'm sure every single case for you is a little bit different, right?
It is. Yeah. Especially with the sweat sticks. I love the sweat sticks. They work wonders. I've had some clients say they don't want to try them. And I'm like, that's fine. I don't force anything upon anybody. I'm not saying, hey, this is the way I do things. This is the way it's got to be done. I just go by what's worked best for the majority of my clients and myself, but I'm not going to force that protocol or whatever on anybody if that's not what they want to do. You know, we'll figure out a different way. There's multiple ways. And then there's some people that can't handle a bath or can't sit in a sauna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dante, sweat sticks. Quick thoughts on sweat sticks.
Pain. Misery.
I like
them, but I kind of messed up on my last time I took them.
I think I told Ross about that when you took too much.
I did one in the morning. The one in the morning was fine, but then like I took the second one and I didn't feel like it was working. So I went to the actual sauna, and as soon as I was in the actual sauna for my second run or second session, it just kicked in and I just got nuked.
Yep. That'll happen. Yeah. There was an incident at OSG where I won't say who it was, but somebody ended up taking 4 or 5 of them at once.
Wow.
4 or 5?
Yeah, because they didn't think they were working, so they just kept taking them.
Yeah,
that's dangerous.
Yeah,
these things aren't Yeah, these aren't pixie sticks. Like,
no, right?
No.
I mean, I do remember this goes back to why I think you should have a coach during these times, because I remember taking my first sweat stick. I guess we should add some context. Like, a sweat stick is made by this company. I believe their name's Project AD.
Yeah, right?
The supplement company, and it's comes in like the old little like pack.
It's like a pixie flavor stick.
Yeah. Pixie stick, yeah. Like the little water flavoring things that people use in their bottles of water. And you take it and then it makes you sweat. I think it's like overload with like caffeine, B12, stuff, things like that. And it makes you just sweat without actually having to do activity. And it does feel miserable for like, I feel more miserable after the fact, like when I get those chills, you know, like once I'm kind of done sweating. But it is by far, for me personally, the best thing I've ever found for making weight that you introduced me to them.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to worry about finding a sauna, because sometimes strongman is in, you know, we're traveling for it. It's in obscure areas, you know. You don't have to worry about, is the water going to get hot in your bath? At this random Airbnb at this hotel, we've probably all ran into those issues before. And you don't have to go on a treadmill like an old school wrestler and fatigue yourself with a trash bag on, which I think is probably, I'd like to get into that, but probably the worst thing you could do. But, you know, I know in my history, a sweat stick has just worked a lot better for me than a sauna versus a bath. Sometimes I still have to get in the sauna. Sometimes I still have to get in the bath, but yeah, I mean, you can talk about how you found that, Ross, and how you see it works with your clients.
Yeah, so I don't remember exactly how I came across them, but I did one cut for a local show, and I was just like, okay, I want to try these out for myself before I start giving them to my clients to see how they react, just so I could say, this is what you should expect. This is, you know, this is how they work. And I found, like, I took my first one way too late in the day when I first started using these things. So like I think it was like 4 or 5 o'clock was the first one. And I didn't realize that these things can last up to like 4 or 5 hours at a time.
For sure.
So when I took the second one, I was up to like 3 a.m. laying in bed, salivating so much because it just makes you want to spit a ton as well, which is nice. So if you're just carrying around a bottle, you could fill that thing up, and that's double, you know, you're double whacking the weight cut there with the sweat and the spit.
I completely forgot to talk about the spitting part, because that is like the biggest part.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I mean, and the other odd thing is that when people think sweat, they think hot. Like, oh, I'm gonna be so hot. These things make me ice cold. Like, I'll be in sweatpants, a sweatshirt, the hood up, clothes underneath, and I'm shivering while I'm sweating out. You know, I think I've gotten up to 5 pounds on one stick.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the worst part for me is like, it's like, I think it's because you're like so slightly damp and like,
You're sitting in those wet clothes while you're sweating and you're cold.
Yeah. Yeah. So no, that's the worst part for me. But I actually just went back and looked at our text for OSG Ross, and I dropped 6 pounds from my sweat stick. So I obviously react really well to them. You made a comment. You're like, dude, you drop weight so easy with those.
You do.
But you know, and I've seen people that I've recommended to lose 2 or 3 pounds.
It is really different for everybody, which, you know, I also let them know like, hey, this could work really well, or we might still have to sweat at the end of the night, you know, to get a little bit off.
Yeah.
Now, do you think that's based off like a person's nutrition and water load throughout their like training prep or anything, or does it that really make a difference?
I haven't noticed anything yet. I've only had one person who really didn't get much out of them.
Yeah.
Everybody else still gets, you know, anywhere between that 3 to 5 pound range from the first stick. And then, you know, some people don't want to take the second one based off of their first one. And that's okay. I completely understand. I mean, for nationals, I weighed out half of a sweat stick at like 8 o'clock at night just because I didn't want to sit in the sauna anymore. And I was like, you know what? This won't keep me up all night. I'll weigh it out to like half. And it actually worked. So I was happy that, you know, I'm able to dose that stick to kind of cut the potency down just to get a few out instead of sitting in the sauna for another hour or two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's a really good point you made about sitting in the sauna and being able to sleep is, I don't know if other people that are listening realize this, but like for me personally, when I'm in the sauna, like late at night, like say weigh-ins are on a Friday and I do a sauna session or a bath session late at night on Thursday to try to cut those last like 1 to 3 pounds or whatever, my heart rate is so elevated where I have a 0% chance of sleeping that night.
And on top of that, if you don't sleep, typically, even though we're so depleted at this point, we should still want to expect to lose half to a full pound from just sleeping. So if we can't get that sleep in, we're losing the ability to lose that extra weight that we could get out of the sleep. And
if you can't sleep, you know, you're not losing that half to a pound that you get lose in your sleep.
Right. So like a lot of my nutrition clients, I'll keep track of like what they're weighing at night and in the morning just to see like how consistent they are, which also helps lead into weigh-ins, because if you're usually losing like 2, 3, 5 pounds overnight, depending on like how big you are, we still want to typically lose maybe half of that, even though we're depleting. So go to bed about a pound and a half, depending on the weight class, overweight, and then expect to wake up on weight.
You know, it kind of just came to my mind, but one thing I see is people, I don't know if it's, I'd be curious what you guys think, but is it out of like anxiousness or nervousness or what, but people tend to overcut a lot for a comp. And, you know, like it's kind of, it baffles me, you know, you do this huge cut and then you're like coming like 5 pounds under. And
yeah, there'll be a lot of people that'll cut to weight the night before.
And then they lose all that, and then weigh-ins aren't until 10 a.m. or whatever.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, ideally, we want to be, you know, in our case, 80 kilos for as little time as possible.
Right.
Step on that scale, start rehydrating and refueling instantly.
Right. Yeah, it's always the hardest thing to explain to people that are outside of the sport, like my dad or someone, like how I walk around, like for OSG, even maybe just more novice people, like what we're talking about. I mean, I guess I didn't add a super great backstory to it all, but it's water manipulation where, you know, Ross can kind of explain the whole science behind it, but in the most bro sense is drink a ton of water with high salt, stop sodium intake and stop drinking water. And there's a lot of other little key parts in there, but drink a shit ton of water, getting more and more every day, stop water. And then, you know, you're manipulating your body, you know, but for example, I was only at 80 kgs for maybe an hour for OSG, which is my class I competed in. And in the morning when I woke up on the first day of the competition, I was 192. So I went from 175 to 192. So that's with just following Ross's protocol on how to refeed after the cut.
Yeah, but that's the most important thing, is getting back to your training weight. If you can't get back there, then you're not going to feel your leverage is going to be off. You're not going to feel comfortable doing the events that you've been training at, the weight that you've been training at. And if the refeed doesn't go well, it's very hard to go above where we started. Like, so like you said, you were 192, which is roughly about where we start with you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really hard to get over that on the refeed, unless you're like super forcefully eating and uncomfortable, and then you're bloated, your belt's going to feel different. You know, everything's going to just feel off.
Yeah, it's different than the powerlifting mindset, is like that really big bloat, because it's not as much, I guess it's not more, it's there's really no moving involved in that type of stuff.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, even look for OSG, like you talk about your leverage is changing. Like think about the deadlift suit that you've been training in the whole time, and yep, your refeed doesn't go right, or goes, you forcefully eat, you know, just little things like that. It just changes everything. So I think every time with you, I've rebounded almost to my exact weight I was like training at, which is amazing.
And that's the other mistake people make, is that they'll get off the scale and then the only thing they care about is like, oh, I can eat whatever I want now. I can eat whatever I want now.
Bingo.
And then it's like junk, candy. They're not replenishing their body. They're not getting ready for the competition, either the whole weekend or just one day. They're like, oh, it doesn't matter, I made weight, I can eat whatever I want. That's a huge mistake.
You just took my next question. Biggest mistake I've seen personally is the off the scale. And this sounds silly, but off the scale to McDonald's, off the scale to Waffle House. I will say, so, okay, say I weigh in at 10 a.m. I don't eat real solid food, like a meal until what? At least
noon.
Noon, at least 12, even 12:30 sometimes. And the time that the two times before I actually used coaching for water cutting, I did that. I ate right after, and they're the two worst experiences of my life.
Where most times you'll either like get so distended and bloated that you won't be able to eat the rest of the day, or it doesn't digest and it'll just go right through you and you're defeating the purpose of eating.
That was exactly it with me. And, you know, is that – so can we explain a little bit why you don't want to eat solid food? Is it because you've been lacking solid food? You've been on that high water cut, and then you have to get your stomach used to it again? Like,
well, we want to prepare it for the food, right? We don't want to just shock it and be like, here's all the food. And secondly, hydration is the most important part after stepping on a scale. We want to be hydrated. So we want that salt. We want that the IV fluids, if possible, the electrolytes, all of that, and then fuel the body with the salt and the carbs to get ready for all of that food that we're going to eat throughout the day.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, going into the gym, like you're not going to go up and just start at your max effort deadlift. Like you're going to ease in and warm up to it. And that's kind of, I guess, the best way I could compare it. Because yeah, I drink that concoction. I sip that concoction that you recommend, and it's probably would taste like shit if I was drinking it right now. But after I get off the scale, it tastes so good.
And
just easing in with light foods. I'm so happy you brought that up, because I would say that's probably the number one thing I see people make the mistake of doing. Like commonly, whether it is the most local unsanctioned show all the way to OSG, is like, oh, now I'm going to Waffle House and McDonald's. And I'm like, man, your stomach is iron or you're going to feel like shit.
Yeah, and the same thing is like when people post their like grocery haul for after weigh-ins on their Instagram and it's all junk. It's all junk.
Yeah.
It's all it is.
Well, you know, relatively speaking, I eat pretty healthy compared to, you know, to a lot of people. And to me, it just doesn't make sense to like, I train, you know, for a competition. We train what, 8 to 12 weeks, you know, specifically for that comp. And we put so much time and effort in it. And I'm eating freaking ground beef 4 times a day, you know, leading into this comp. And then I weigh in and then I'm going to go eat like waffles and, you know what I mean? Like,
your stomach is not going to like you.
It just doesn't make sense. I've never done it. So like, you know, there are the little things I do, like, you know, I'll have like fruit snacks during the comp just to have like something quick. I'm not going to walk around the OSG Convention Center and find a microwave for my beef.
No.
But no, I know exactly what you're saying. You see the carts and you're like, man, do you eat like this? Like normally, like, you know, these boxes of donuts and everything like that. And
I'm not saying that you can't have those things, but those are for in between meals. Like those are your snacks, not your main force of your main source of nutrition for the weekend or the comp.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. The best part is like, I look forward to like a nicer meal that night before the comp, like where we go out with everyone and like my stomach's kind of like back to normal. Dante knows we do that all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah. What other major mistakes do you see that people do? Don't eat during the comp.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
Yeah. People will just, I'm not hungry, I don't need it. Or they'll just be like, I'll have something quick before the actual event. Your body doesn't digest instantly. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And if you did just do an event, you need to recover from that event and also prepare for the next one.
Yeah.
And especially at a show like OSG, where you've got 4 hours between events.
At least. No, that's, I'd be curious what you guys like think are like nice, easy go-tos, like a nice PB&J or PB and honey, whatever, like something like that. I like fruit snacks, Rice Krispies are light for me, things like that. But what else do you, I mean, obviously whatever you normally eat, but like, what are some like snacks you think are kind of like easy, but beneficial to eat on the go at a comp?
For the comp, for like the longer, more time between events, I like the Uncrustables, just the peanut butter. They're super easy. You don't have to worry about making it. It's just there. Peanut butter pretzels, also good. You can buy those at the grocery store, just peanut butter filled pretzels. And then like a Sour Patch Kid, the gummy crawlies. You don't need a lot. We're not trying to really focus on protein for the day, right? We're trying to focus on fuel and energy for the day.
Yeah. So when you say that, it's carbohydrates, right?
Carbohydrates. Yeah. Something that's not like super slow digesting, but enough that's going to be available for when you need it.
Yeah. And like, what would be some advice that you would have as far as nutrition for anyone, like just at like your local comps, like people that are just coming to our shows or your guys' shows up there at Lightning, they're just doing your standard 5 event. Maybe they're just learning how to water cut. What are like some advices for nutrition throughout the day once they're at the show?
Drink plenty of water. Well, leading up, like, so if you're nutrition leading up throughout like training, plenty of water, plenty of protein. Stop eating as much junk as possible. And then, I mean, if you have to cut weight, but do it the right way. Like, don't expect to cut 10, 12 pounds for your first or second show if you've never done it before. It's just not. One, it's not worth it. Two, unless you're winning that show.
Yeah.
And then going on to nationals, why are you cutting weight?
Yeah. Would you ever recommend someone like, I guess, do a smaller cut for a comp, like to kind of learn like, hey, like I'm only, you know, I'm competing at 175, I'm 180. Like, okay, well, if you're going to grow and try to be an 80, like try this 5 pound cut, or do you have them do like mock cuts? Like, what would you recommend for people to learn?
I don't like the mock cut.
Yeah.
I don't like mock cuts. Body. It really is. I mean, when we do this, like you think of some of the guys like Donan or Dean who have done like 7 to 10 competitions this year. they're cutting massive amounts of weight multiple times over short periods. Like, it is not easy on the body, and each time you do it, it just gets harder.
Yeah. You know, Andrew Haynes made, this is a while ago, but he was on the pod and he made a really good point. And he said, and I guess it actually, he was kind of a fortune teller because he moved up a class, but this is when he was in 80 kg. And he said, I'm a firm believer you only have so many big cuts. And for him, it turned out to be, you know, true. I mean, he's on the very extreme side, but, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, he's at such a high level too, right? Where it's like he walked, you know, he missed weight at the Arnold and then he went and won the Arnold.
Yeah, which is he's an anomaly. Like, yeah, he's the top of the top.
First year at OSG at 90, you know, top five.
Right. Yeah. No, yeah. He's crazy. But I just thought that was very insightful by him to say that, because he had been doing it for so long. And you know, I also think if you do so many cuts, I mean, you're talking about Donan and Dean McVie. Like, if you're not an 80 kg follower, those are two of the top guys ever in our class. But I think if you're doing a lot of cuts, it also doesn't give you that like off season or the ability to kind of like put on muscle and continue to get better, because you're always losing that weight.
Right. That's the other thing, right? Like, so if you're planning on doing that many big cuts for a year, your nutrition better be on point all year round. You know, some of these amateurs or, you know, local level people just be like, well, these guys are doing it no problem, but they're not seeing, you know, they don't see us in the kitchen. They don't see us eating our meals at home. They don't see what we're doing except for in the gym.
Right.
You know, they're just like, oh, well, I just need to weigh this much. It doesn't matter what I eat to weigh this much. Right. And then they feel like crap, or they can't cut the weight nearly as easy as guys like us who are eating clean or clean-ish 90% of the time.
Yeah. No, it goes back to like kind of what I started off on the pod saying, is I think it sucks because people see, like, for at our gym, for example, Dante's one of the bigger guys, and people see him and, oh, Dante cuts from, you know, two, what do you normally start your cut at, Dante? In the mid 250s down to 105?
Yeah, before I start dieting, I'll get like 250s. Then when I actually start the water load like, week, wow, it's like 248.
Yeah, wow, you know, he cuts, you know, 20 plus pounds to make weight, but they don't see, you know, he walks around like a doofus all day with a big cooler with 5 ground beef meals in it year round. You know what I mean? And
yeah, I mean, like, how many, before we jumped on, he was eating his second breakfast. How many people have a second breakfast, right? Like, you know, like, what do you mean a second breakfast? Well, to fit all the food that we need to eat in, we have multiple lunches and multiple dinners. Yeah.
We all speak in meal one through five or six.
Exactly. Yeah.
What meal are you eating? Meal two. But yeah, no, it's just, I'm happy that people have such an interest in competing at a higher level. But I will just say, like, talk to someone like Ross, or even just like someone at your gym that has done water cuts, so they can give you a good idea, and don't try to do it. The funniest part is when I get texts 7 days before a comp, like one of our comps, hey, I'm 14 pounds over, what should I do? It's like, well, I mean, you can try this water cut. You're still are only 7 days out, but how has your nutrition been? How's your water intake? Like, stuff like that. Have you ever done a water cut before? So yeah, I'm happy that people want to be competitive and a strongman, but I would just say really talk to someone who's more knowledgeable in it before you do it, and make sure you have a purpose to do it.
Yeah, that, and especially when you're doing either a big water cut and it happens to be the first time, make sure you also have somebody with you, like, while that's you're going through, right? Like, you are going to get exhausted. You're going to get maybe dehydrated. Like, you're just going to be out of it from either sitting in too many sessions, sweating, or just because you haven't eaten or drank in 36 hours, right? Like, have somebody there keeping an eye on you. Anything can happen, no matter how well it's going.
Right. No, and that is such a good point. And it's crazy, and not to sound dramatic, but like, you're literally like, your body's shutting down. Like, you're in a very less sense, you're dying. Like, you haven't drank in 36 hours. You're basically fasted from everything, and you're just waiting to get on a scale. So you get loopy. You don't know how your body's going to react. That's a great point. Like, I always have my wife with me, just someone, make sure someone's watching out for you, or have a buddy that you can stay on FaceTime with. You
yeah,
know?
Like, exactly. And I tell a lot of people, like even at the gym, or if we're like at OSG and I'm not competing or anything like that, like just text, just pick up a phone, like ask, don't hesitate. Don't do something that could risk injury or harm to yourself just because either you didn't want to pay somebody or you don't want to ask for help. Like just ask. Like, yeah, better safe than sorry.
Yeah. Especially your first time, because you have no idea, you know, more novice people to water cutting, you have no idea what's going to happen to your body and how you're going to react.
Yeah. So. It's not like you come to me like 5 days out and like, I'm not going to be like, oh, sorry, you didn't pay me, I'm not going to help you. Like, listen, yeah, I don't want to see you die or do something stupid just to make weight for a competition.
Yeah. No, 100%. 100%. Don't you have anything else to add about water cutting? Is there anything else you think that comes to mind that you see that maybe can help people, mistakes they're making? I mean, we talked about a lot about the water cutting, but is there anything we didn't touch on with the water cutting or the whole entire process?
Probably salt during the water cut. I don't think people understand how much salt you have to use.
Yeah.
Right. And like, again, if you're not, so if you're eating clean, right, if you're following the plan like you're supposed to and you're making your own food, you have to salt that too. Like, you need to salt everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because 100%. The regular population, everybody's getting their sodium from processed food, right? Out for eating out, all that. For us, we need to salt so much on our own to get the sodium that we need, either for the water load or just in an everyday basis.
Yeah. So when you have it, like, say I'm your nutrition client and I'm just eating like my normal meals, maybe necessarily don't weigh out your salt per meal, but like
salt to taste. Salt
okay,
to taste.
That's what I was trying to get at. Salt to taste.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. It's huge. It's huge. It's such a paramount aspect for athletes that are going in sweating, heavy cardiovascular activities that you do in strongman with like medley stuff like that. Like, it's it blows my mind when I see so many people cramping, and it's like, you know, it's probably, that's probably has a huge, plays a huge factor in it, right? Is lack of,
absolutely,
lack of sodium.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
No, those are great points. I want to talk about nutrition in general. And for people listening, we're not talking about your average 9-to-5 person that doesn't, we're talking about I want to talk about four strength athletes, specifically strongman, powerlifting, I think helps too. One thing I want to talk about, we got some questions on this, is body recomp. It's kind of like a bro thing you hear, body recomposition, but I think it is like, it's something that I think is so important that people could benefit from. And like, I guess, if I wanted to do a body recomp, so meaning I wanted to add muscle, kind of recomposition the physique of my body, how would you go about it, Ross? Like, how would you start lining me up, I guess?
So we obviously look at your training first. So we would we want to line up our nutrition with our training. So I would expect that if you're doing the body recomp, your training wouldn't be, you know, event specific for a strongman show or anything like that. But mostly we would just increase protein and slowly drop carbs and fat.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think it's just something like a lot of people can benefit from in strength sports, because when you first get in, a lot of people get in that mindset, just getting heavier and heavier, because mass does move weight. Like, you know, so, hey, I started as a 181 power lifter. Now I'm a 198. Now I'm a 220. Now I'm a 242. Before you know it, maybe you've gotten sloppy, and now the weight isn't paying off in regards to how much weight you can now move. So just kind of recomposition your body. What do you think of a fair timeline is? Now, this might be an unfair question, because I guess I would just emphasize and ask your thoughts on it. But just people think like, okay, if Ross comes to you and says, Dante, you need 6 months to kind of do this body recomp, and we'll get you to a, a more jacked 105, and you're going to benefit because you stink at moving events, and but you're going to be now you're going to be healthier.
He's coming,
and
he's coming at talking, you.
This is hypothetical, of course, but you know, people look at, like, Ross goes to Dante and says, you need 6 months to do this full recomp. And they look at it and they're like, wow, 6 months, that's so long. But is that really that long in the – I think people are afraid to buy in is what I'm saying. I guess that's my long way of saying it.
Yeah, because I've had clients come and go. I've got people that have done – that do really well. And then I have some that aren't extremely honest with me on how things are going or how well they're adhering to the plan, right?
That's all coaching, right?
Yeah, it really is. Like, if you buy in, you're going to get the results, right? Like, it's just going to happen. If you want it that bad, it's going to happen. I tell a lot of people, like, I give you the plan, it's on you now, right? Like,
right.
I can't force you to do these things. I can hold you accountable, but I can't be like, oh, don't eat that meal. Don't go out to eat. Don't have McDonald's. Like,
yeah,
I can't do that. But yeah, it takes time.
Yeah. And you need to, you also, like, I will say, you need to be honest with your coach too, where it's like, hey, you have this meal planned for me, or you have this in my program. Like, I feel like absolute shit when I do X, Y, or Z. And maybe I'm just doing something wrong, or maybe it's a modification that needs made for me as an individual. But, like, if you're just being boneheaded and, like, you feel like you're hurting yourself or you're not better, just talk to your coach. I'm sure they want, like, you know what,
yeah,
I mean?
it's so simple. I mean, people come to me like, oh, well, I wasn't really sure if it like, tell me everything. Like, are you feeling great? Are you feeling shitty? Does this not work well? Can you not? Is this too much food? Do we need to spread it out over more meals? Do you want to move carbs to a different thing? Like, I will make it work any way that works for you. But if you don't talk to me, I just assume that things are going okay.
Right. Yeah, for sure. I can't. It's especially in the world of online coaching now, right? Where it's like, I'm not seeing you every day at the gym where you can see if I'm, you know, I don't know. You made a great point with, like, you can't stop people from going out to eat that meal. It's the same thing with, like, I'm kind of talking to some of my clients, and I'm sure some of yours, but, you know, how many times you get, oh, I know I wasn't supposed to hit this max effort log, but, and it's like, well, what do you want me to, like, they come to you and say that, like, or they say, hey, is it okay if I hit a one rep max deadlift today? Well, no, I mean, I didn't program it for you. I programmed, right, you know, speed deadlifts, but, like, you're a human. And if that's what you, it sounds like you already have your mind made up. That's always the funny part. They come to me and say, hey, is it okay? It's like, well, it sounds like you have your mind made up. Like,
yeah, I've got a couple clients for training, for strength, for programming, that'll be like, they know better than to ask. They just do it. And then they tell me after.
Better to ask for forgiveness, ask for permission and forgiveness.
The only thing I tell them, and I was like, I'm just like, well, that's just going to mess up your training for the next 2 weeks because your body's going to not recover from that. Mm-hmm. And, like, your next training sessions are going to not be as well because you just fried your CNS.
Yeah. And it's, you know, most coaches, whether you want to believe it or not, approach it with a long-term sight. It's they're not looking, you know, if Ross is programming for Dante, he's not looking at that random Wednesday speed session on log. He's looking at peaking him for the log he has at a competition.
Right.
So yeah, it's great that you feel good for that log session on Wednesday. You should feel great, like, if everything's going well.
And a lot of people won't look at that as a positive. They're like, oh, it's going too well. I need to go heavier, or I need to do something harder to get what I want to feel. It should be good enough that weight or whatever that movement for the day is moved that well, where, holy cow, I can't believe it moved that well.
Right.
Just take that as the win.
Yeah, for sure. And it's like, you know, one thing I always tell clients or just people in general is, like, a one rep max isn't always the way to measure strength gains, right? Like, say, you know, last week Dante did a set of five at 405 and it moved okay, like an RP 8. But then he comes back and he has it this week and he does it for five, but he moves it at like a 6. It's like, yeah, dude, you're getting stronger. There's a million ways to, how do you feel? How's the bar moving?
How's your form?
How's your form? That's another great one.
Great.
You know, do you feel healthy? Like, are you, like, you know, so.
Yeah, I've got a client who came to me just over a year ago, I think, and he was like maxing out on deads at like 495. And last weekend he did three sets of eight at 495.
Yeah.
Like RPE six.
Yeah, it's like that's freaking like obviously you can look at that human like, yeah, he might want to pull or they might want to pull a new deadlift record, but it's like
which he does.
Yeah. But your deadlift's obviously gone up. Like, yeah. Like look at like that's awesome. So that's cool. I mean, I know just seeing some of your other clients, like I know the one example I want to bring up was Herney.
Herney's my man. Love Herney.
I think his name on Instagram is like 80 kgHP. Something like that. But Herney's someone I've gotten to compete against a couple times and just like a great human. But he's a prime example of buying, like we were lit. It segues good into him because buying in, like he loves you so much. And if you would write anything on a piece of paper, he would do it. Like Ross is his coach. I guess I should have said that, but
yeah. So I do his strongman training and his nutrition, and he literally follows everything to a T. I don't have to question him. I don't have to worry about him. He sends me his videos. He keeps me updated. He updates his spreadsheets on his weight. He tells me how he's feeling. He doesn't go off program. It's great. And like he had sent me a video from when he started because he's only been in the sport like 2 years.
Yeah. And I've got to compete against him like two or three times in those 2 years.
Yeah. And I judged his first amateur competition and he sent me a video or he posted the video on Instagram of it. It was Axel clean and press. And I think it was like 205 and he was struggling. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's training for the Arnold, which has a 250 Axel in it and he's hitting it. No problem.
Right.
Yeah. Like, yeah. He's just like, whatever it takes, I trust you. Let's do this. And it's paying off for him so well.
Yeah. Like he got, I think like 10th at Strongman Corp Nationals
with a zero.
And then this year came back and I think he got top four.
He podiumed. He took third.
Oh, did he? He took third.
Third.
So he got on the podium and like, I competed against him in Kentucky this year. And just to see like,
and you had to beat him in a tiebreaker.
I had to beat him in a tiebreaker and I had to lose my mind to win. Cause he held the thing for like 3 minutes long. Like, no, but like, and his overhead went up immense. Like, so no, he's a very, very good example of just trusting the process and over time it's just going to happen. So
yeah,
I'm glad he came up. With nutrition, are there any other, we talked about mistakes in water cutting. Are there mistakes you see with strongman powerlifters, with their just year round nutrition or maybe like how it's timed, stuff like that?
I would say not enough protein. And then like probably eating shit food before training, McDonald's, Burger King before training.
Yeah.
Right. Like they're thinking, oh, I just need some food that's going to get me through training instead of like what's actually going to get you through training. What food is going to be available to you that you just ate for that 2-3 hour session that you're going to do and not the McDonald's that's going to hit you or make you feel like crap 8 hours later.
Yeah, for sure. I think, and like that's my favorite meal of the day on training days because it's so important, but it's also like you can have a little more flexibility with it because it's so high carb.
And we want that like that fast digesting carb, right? So like the cereal or the bagels, like we want to eat those things. Yeah.
Right. And so it's fun. You know, you've been eating ground beef all day. You can still get away with some stuff, but like think about event day for strongman, where you're training 2-3, maybe some people even do 4, like training these really hard, almost mock comps. You don't want to go in there just with nothing in your stomach or too much crap or whatever. So,
yeah. And I think that's the other thing too, is, people don't realize that you can have an intra workout drink that has carbs in it as well to fuel you through the training session.
That's a huge one.
I mean, it sometimes saves me on days, 40, 50 grams of carbs in your, from a Gatorade powder or, highly branched cyclic dextrin, something that digests really fast as a carb.
Mm-hmm.
Sipping on that during training can make all the difference.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've used Carbaline.
Carbaline.
And I mean, like if I'm traveling for work, I'll grab a Gatorade and put my creatine in it. And like, it's got, you know, like 36 to 40 grams of carbs in like a normal Gatorade. And I think it really does help, like having an intra workout. So it's a good point too.
Yeah. You just got to also remember to add those carbs into your nutrition count, actually, right? Like, so those aren't free.
100%. 100%. I want to, is there anything you feel like we missed with, on a base level with water cutting, nutrition, stuff like that?
The only thing I would say with the water cutting is like, plan further ahead than you think you need to. Don't wait to the last minute.
It's a great point.
If you are going to hire somebody, anybody, not even me, anybody out there doing water cut coaching will want to speak to you at least 4 weeks out. You know, let's get an idea of where your weight's at currently, how you're eating. Can we fix that? You know, can we diet you down to a safer place 1 week out? So it's not something that you want to reach out to somebody with seven to 10 days out, or even 2 weeks out, right? That's not a lot of time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you're being a responsible athlete, you're not going to like start training 7 days out. So, you know, start thinking about the other little stuff. Always try even like 8 weeks out. Like I try to kind of visualize the comp, like where am I going to be on Wednesday of the week? Where am I going to be on Thursday? Stuff like that. So you're 100% right. Reach out in advance. That's a really good point. Dante, was there anything that you wanted that came up throughout the process that you just thought would be important to mention about nutrition or water cutting in general?
So what I like to do, since I sit pretty heavy in the off season, is when I try to get back into like comp season, like right now I'm like 270. And I usually get like 250. Yeah.
Keep in mind, he promised he wouldn't get over 260.
That was in the off season. Now I'm in a different season. I'm in a different season now. I'm in pre-training season.
He's hibernating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So
I like the carb cycle to get back down to the bottom level, and I time on my meals. So it's like I still am able to be efficient in the gym, but like the rest of the day kind of sucks. What's your thoughts on that? Like carb cycling or like meal timing to lose weight
while still maintaining strength. Yeah, I do like that. I talk to a lot of clients that are like, hey, I know I want to cut, or I want to, you know, body recomp, but like, I still want to prioritize training. I have very few, like gen pop nutrition clients. Yeah. So most of them are athletes, either powerlifting or strongman. And I will always prioritize carbs pre and post training over anything else. And then their non-training days are usually lighter in carbs too.
Okay.
Yeah. That ties in together really well, because that's what we were just talking about with like nutritional timing, like with the pre-training meal, like don't eat like crap. It's like one of those things. What's the there was like a big trend with like just like the if it fits your macros, like a lot of YouTubers, but I don't think it necessarily works for strongmen. Like just hitting like, hey, today you have to hit these many proteins, these many carbs, these many fats. You should hit them, but like I think the timing of the nutrition matters a lot more. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, mostly just for your pre-training and post-training, right? Like those are the only ones that are going to actually matter. Your other meals, eat them as you can. Obviously, yeah, if it fits, it fits. But like every food is going to act differently on the body, right? Your body is going to use that food either at a different time or in a different way.
Yeah.
You can eat any way you want, but you're not going to get the results that you're expected to look at. You know, if you can eat as much whole food as possible, the least processed, the better.
Yeah. I'm just cracking up at Dante saying he was 270.
It took a lot
for him to admit that. I know it did.
No, I'm honest. I always do it. I bounce up and I go down.
That's going to be one hell of a cut.
He does this every single year. He just says he's not going to get up to 270, gets to 270, and then cuts down. So
food's good, I'll tell you that.
But so Ross, you coach with Stronger Together,
yes,
which is I don't know if it was started by Cody or
it was.
Okay.
It was.
Yeah. I thought so. I just didn't want to misspeak. So Cody Abel, who has been a friend of the program for a long time, Andrew Haynes, who's been a friend of the program for a long time, is same with you. You three, it's comprised of you three together, right?
It is now, yes. Yep.
Okay, cool.
Cody is still Cody's main thing. You know, he kind of was nice enough to bring us in. He trusted us to help build that program and offer more services.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would just say on Instagram, it's just the_stronger_together. And yes, that's kind of where you can find the collective of these guys. It's obviously, if you're watching on YouTube, Ross's Instagram is popped up right on the screen with Dante's awesome editing, but it's Ross R813. And you can just kind of see all those guys, because it's a cool dynamic with like, they all can coach strongman, but you have Ross with the nutrition, and they all kind of just add their own little value. I think it's a cool team. And I also think it's important. Like, I think it's really cool how Cody, I mean, I guess the whole team, but choosing to give back to the sport. Like, Cody was a sponsor at OSG. He already literally just unprovoked messaged me about sponsoring our show in the summer and being involved, maybe being on site for it. So like, Cody sponsored our giveaway that we just did on YouTube that just ended. So like, just supporting people that support the sport too, I think are cool. And it's a guys that have all been around for a super long time in the sport, so that if you're seeing it or going through it, chances are Ross, Andrew, or Cody have also went through that same problem. And it's cool to have people to talk to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We want to help the community, right? We're not out here trying to, you know, take advantage of people or like pick and choose who we work with. We want to help everybody. We want this sport to grow so much and give people those options out there, you know, learning, just starting out, or if they want that one-on-one stuff, that one-on-one programming. Like, we offer everything.
Right. Plus three of the nicer guys I've ever met with you, Andrew and Cody. So it's super nice, guys. I encourage everyone, make sure you guys are following Stronger Together on there. And yeah, anything else, Ross, with things to follow, look out for? I mean, obviously, message Ross. What's the best way if I wanted to do a water cutter, I want to hire you as a nutritionist or a strongman coach, what's my best way to get a hold of you?
Best way, either reach out to me directly through my Instagram or the Stronger Together's Instagram. Either one of those will get you to me. As you know, Josh, I respond very fast. I don't wait.
Well, you know, that was one thing I told people is my favorite part about the water cut with you is a coach. And it sucks you have to say this, but a reliable and dependable coach. I hear these horror stories from people that have coaches, whether it's programming, water cutting, and they're just left on red for days at a time. And it's something that might be pertinent within it sounds dramatic, but like pretty pertinent within a quick time frame where it's like, hey man, am I taking this sweat stick? Am I getting in this sauna?
Right.
For OSG, you text me, you're like, hey man, between 6 and 7:30, I'm gonna be on a flight. So if you message me between that hour and a half, like, so we make a plan to work around that. Like, just having a reliable and dependable coach means a lot and goes a long way. It's crazy.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, if you're having doubts or something's happening, like, you just might need that peace of mind to be like, you're good, I'm good. Or like, right, hey, things aren't going the way I think we should be planned, let's make the adjustment, right? Like, mm-hmm. When you lay out that water cut plan, it's not set in stone. It's literally, it could be a daily to like half a day changes. Like, you're just making changes on the fly as needed.
Right. Well, it's like, I know when I get my water cut from you, it's like, okay, this is what we're going to plan to do, but you have notes in there like, this day may completely change based on how your water is, which is the way to do it, because it can't be a cookie cutter program. It has to be on the fly, especially with something like a water cut. And, you know,
I had to fix somebody's for nationals this past year who wasn't weighing their food correctly. Like, they weren't taking in,
I think you told me that.
Yeah, they were taking in way too much fat. Like, they were taking in like an additional almost 1,000+ calories a day during their cut.
How were they? Were they just making a mistake in measuring something out, or was it
I think it was just either they weren't used to measuring or understanding like some of the fat content in some of the food. And then we just made an adjustment and we made weight pretty easily. Cool. But that was, we had to make that adjustment like 5 days out.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah. It probably would blow a lot of people's minds, like the small mistakes that are being made, like just without knowing, just innocent mistakes. We'll wrap up here soon, but as a nutrition coach, a lot of people use MyFitnessPal. Do you recommend an app for tracking food, or is it just kind of whatever people like?
Yeah, I mean, whatever works. Because, I mean, well, some you have to pay for, some you don't. But yeah, whatever. As long as you know how to measure food, that's all that matters. And I tell everybody, if you have a question about measuring, unsure about measuring, unsure about how to calculate the macros from a certain food, just ask.
Yeah.
You know, it's not something that everybody's used to. If you're on weight or not cutting weight, you know, you're eyeballing half the stuff, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I will say, and also when you get in the habit for like years of measuring out your food, you get pretty good at eyeballing too. So when you are in a pinch, like I can get pretty close to like grams of rice now and stuff like that.
Yeah. When you're on a water cut, you can't make that mistake.
No, heck no, 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 no. I'm just saying, like, if you it's like anything, if you make nutrition a habit, like you do training and everything, it becomes second nature, is I guess the point I'm trying to make, where even when you're not trying to make necessarily the best decision with your food, you're still going to make good decisions because you've been trained to it.
Yeah. And I tell a lot of my clients, I'm like, hey, if you can go like 3-4 weeks of 90-95% compliance, you are going to know why you're going to want to continue to do that, because you feel fantastic. Your training is going to go through the roof. You're going to sleep so much better. And I've had a couple people who just be like, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
I'm gonna stick to this way more often now, because they'll have that like cheat meal or day after that, and they're like, oh my God, I want to die.
Yeah. Dante put it best one time. You know, I think I was like thinking about having a cheat meal one time. He's like, it only feels good in the moment.
It does.
And like that's such a good point. And it's so hard for people to commit to it. Like eating your ground beef, your chicken, like just your healthy, good protein-packed meals. Once you, it does not, I just urge anyone that's listening that's having a hard time with nutrition, dive in. I know, understand this is dropping on Christmas, so literally I'm urging people the hardest time of the year. But like, I think the New Year's resolutions sometimes are BS, but really, like, the start of this year, dive in. It will take a lot less longer than you think to get adapted, and it just becomes second nature. Hey, this day and this day, I'm cooking my meals for the week. I'm going to prepare them. I don't have to go out to eat for lunch. I'm saving money. I feel so much better. Dive in. It will become a second nature so much quicker than you think, because I know. No, you're good. Go ahead.
And it doesn't mean you don't get to have those meals out, or you don't get to have your favorite food. It's just, you're not having it twice a week or every weekend. Like, it's here and there, and you're still going to be fine. It's not going to affect your results at any point, but you do have to buy in for the most part.
Yeah. And that refeed will feel even better when you have
it.
You will appreciate that Domino's pizza so much more when you dive back in. So
yeah. And not only that, when you're following the plan for so long and you have that cheat meal resets everything for you. And I had a client that signed up that was stuck losing weight, a female. And I was like, how long have you been like strict? She's like 4 or 5 months. I was like, go have a cheat meal, whatever you want, anything and everything you want, like just one whole meal. And she was like, what? What do you mean? I'm like, go eat whatever you want for one meal. I don't care what it is. That next week, she dropped like almost a kilo.
That's crazy. It's cool how that works, though. Your body, it's adaptation. Like, your body gets adapted to eating the same meals over and over. And even though they are healthy, you kind of like plateau because great point.
So it tastes even better when you earn that, right? Like, you go and you're like, yes, I get to eat whatever I want for an entire meal. I earn this. And then you actually get better results because of it.
For sure. That's awesome, man. Well, Ross, we've been probably going for about an hour now, but that was awesome. I think this is seriously something that a lot of strength athletes, from novice up to even the top, it's crazy, but need to listen to, need to to take into account with their training and their lifestyle. So I appreciate it so much, man. It's about time we got you on the pod. I'm happy you're
here. Yeah, no, I really appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Yeah. Yo, we'll talk to you soon. Make sure you're following Ross on everything, and we will see you guys next week.
See ya.
Thanks, guys.